You know, you just sense God's presence through that, couldn't you? Just this, his love for us and those words and the way it was put together. We begin today, again, in the garden. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Jesus said to his heavenly Father, "Not my will, but yours be done"? There was a moment there when he wanted to bail out and not go to the cross and not endure taking upon the sin of the world, our sin upon his shoulders, and dying for us. There was a moment there, if there's any other way this cup can pass from me, Father, let it pass. And yet he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." And because of that, because of submitting to his Father's will, he saved us by shedding his blood for us. That simple act of submission. And we've talked about it in the last couple of weeks. Getting past the gag reflex of having to have our own will. It opens up an incredible world of possibilities. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. How do we comprehend the enormity of what that takes? The enormity of God's love for us. And as I thought about how I wanted to end this series, I really just prayed, Lord, speak to us this day. You speak to us. Don't let it be my words, but you speak to us this day. And I want to start by asking this question. What is the credibility of somebody that's going to talk to us? What are the credentials of a carpenter, if you would? A simple carpenter, born in a little old town. So let's look at some of his credentials, that we can put our trust in him. That when he went to the cross, it really meant something. On the very first day of creation, in Genesis chapter 1, the very first day, he talks about light. God created light, and in him there is no darkness. But he created what we understand as light. We get our light from the sun. But it's interesting in the story of creation, he creates light first before he does the sun, moon, and the stars. Because God is the source of light. And if we could kill all the lights in this church, which we just did, thank you, and it was pitch black, and that candle represented God's light, it would illuminate everything. Because what it does, it illuminates what truth is, what true truth actually is. Every man does right in his own eyes. Why? Because we think we've got the truth. One time I was in an intense discussion, and I think it may have been with Joy, and she said something to the effect, "You always think you're right." Well, yeah. Which one of us goes into an intense discussion thinking we're wrong? I mean, have you ever had an argument with your spouse? "I know I'm wrong, but this is the position I'm taking." Every man does right in his own eyes, but God's light illuminates what true truth really is. So he creates light first. First day of creation. Second day of creation, this is what he does. He creates that little orb right there. We call it home. And if you look at it, you can kind of see right where we live on that. If you compare the beauty of Earth with all the other planets that we can focus on, we truly live in a beautiful marvel, don't we? And in that creation, he separates the heavens, the sky, the atmosphere, the clouds from the waters below. You think as we look at that picture, all that was entailed in creating the earth with the weather systems and the gravitational and the mountains and the rivers and just the vegetation, which will come in a minute, all the things that went into creating the earth. we read in first in John, it was our Savior who is the instrument of creation. It's Jesus, the incarnate Christ, that's the instrument of creating the earth. And there it is. You know, scientists are looking for life elsewhere. I don't think there's life elsewhere. And the only reason, because this is the stage of which everything else is the curtains around. This is where it's happening, right here. And we'll see that as we progress. Day two, there was the earth. Day three, we see the vegetation coming in. This is the new cones on a Colorado blue spruce. And I just grabbed it just for the beauty of it and the symmetry of it, the order of it that goes into the vegetation to God's creation. You know, if you just randomly throw a bunch of things out on the ground, like a bunch of pickup sticks or something like that, they never fall in symmetrical order. Never. This picture to me just shouts that God is the God of order and symmetry and beauty. This is just four little pine cones. There are multiple gazillion pine cones in the world. And yet God has got his hand in every single one of them and the beauty of every single one of them. The vegetation, the third day. The fourth day, the sun, moon, and stars also. It's just like, oh, by the way, I'm going to do this. And there they are. This shot is taken from the Hubble telescope up in space, way out there. This is one picture of four galaxies and a host of other stars in the foreground. The nearer ones are the host of stars in the foreground. And again, look at the beauty and the symmetry and the billions of stars that are represented in just one of those galaxies there. And yet our God, our Savior, knows every rock on every single planet and galaxy and chemical makeup and everything you can imagine on every single one out there. And we can't even find how far out there goes. And this is what our Savior has done. This is the power. Michelle, give me the next one on the... This is a supernova. And look at the beauty of that. That is a star cluster in the center of that thing with multiple other stars of different light frequencies because of the temperatures of them. There are so many we can't even not see them. Just one. This is just one of billions of these things that are out there that God has created for our pleasure and our joy of just exploring this and looking. The heavens declare the glory of God. Oh my goodness, look at that. How can you not be inspired by who God is and the power that God has to do all this in one day? One day. Well, and if that wasn't enough, day five, he populates his planet with animals. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of different species of animals. Now, this is the pronghorn antelope found here in America. I chose this one for a couple reasons. It's just one of his miraculous creations. But there's some very unique things about this goat that lives right here with us. And if you travel east of here up into the Modoc country, you can see these guys. They're out through the Great Basin. For one thing, they have the longest migration route of any animal in the world, over 300 miles in northern Wyoming south. But more important than that, as you look, this is a male, and the pronghorn antelope is not only the fastest land animal in the North American continent, he's the second fastest land animal in the world, only to the cheetah, and only by 2 miles an hour. There isn't anything in North America that can catch these guys. In fact, I think Stan's out trying to find one this weekend. I have it on really good authority. That's where Stan is, because he didn't get one last weekend. He saw one go. They can do that because of their bone structure and their lung capacity. Their bone structures under a microscope are very porous, more so than ours, more so than a cow's or horse's, almost like honeycomb. Very light bone structure. And he's got amazing lung and heart capacity. These guys are all about speed, and they live on the prairie. And there's a really neat, in the way God designed them, a really neat symbiotic relationship on the prairie between antelope and buffalo. On the tall grass prairie, antelope are a prey species, and so they need to run. They need to be able to see for protection. They run. That's the way they escape predators. On the prairie, the tall grass prairie is over a man's head in the old days. So the buffalo would go through in the hundreds of thousands, and they'd be mowing it down to a certain level. And then the antelope would follow the buffalo so they could see. But more importantly in that whole symbiotic relationship is that as the buffalo ate the seeds of the tall grass prairie, they would pass through, drop out, and they're dropping, so you've got fertilizer and seeds, and then the hooves of the antelope following were just like cultivators and cultivated right into the soil. So you had a perfect farming system going on between to rejuvenate the tall grass prairie between the buffalo and the antelope. Isn't evolution amazing? Their horns. And a horn, by the way, their horns are made of cuticle, the same thing, basically hair, the same thing your fingernails are made out of. They have an outer sheath that drops off. They have a hard antler sheath on the inside that's actually made of calcium. And then the females don't have this beautiful horn that the male does right here. Anyway, just one species. And the intricacy of what God designed into that one species, the antelope, just is mind-boggling, isn't it? You think about it. The heart, the lungs, the nervous system, the brain capacity. Not only that, a young kid antelope, when it hits the ground, within 30 minutes can stand, and within a day can run nearly as fast as its parents. Any of your kids do that? It's amazing what God has designed into the animal kingdom. On day 6, he tops off his creation with you and I. Made in his image, male and female, he made them. Each, the male, the female, with different attributes, different strengths, different abilities. Each one of us uniquely made. In fact, let me read to you, if I may, a short little blip from Psalm 139. For thou didst form me my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in the book they were all numbered, the days that were ordained for me. And when as yet there was not one of them. How intimately does our Savior know you? He put you together. He made you special. Unique. There has never been another Warren Sauer in all of creation. Stand up, Warren. You are a unique. Go ahead. Come on. Stand up. Come on. Come on. This is a unique creation of God. Don't anybody say amen to that. We are all uniquely made and crafted, and yet we all bear the image of God. But the point of this is so important. He made all the rest of the creation, all of it, for us. And he made it all, and he capstoned it all with the wonder of creating us in his image, with a heart and a soul, to have fellowship with him, to know him, to magnify him. And no one can do it quite like you. You're the only one that can magnify the Savior like you can, with the gifts and talents and skills and all those things that he has made you into and has given you as spiritual gifts. Can you grasp the significance of that? How much he loves you? You're an expression, unique expression of the character of God. There's never been anyone else like you. God knit you just the way he wanted you, to magnify and glorify him. But as we know from the Genesis story, something terrible happened to this beautiful picture. God gave us a wonderful gift of free will, as he did his created beings, the angels. God gave us that concept, that gift of free will, because he desired that we would love him. And there is not love without free will. There can't be. When I give my life to Joy, she cannot force that. I voluntarily give my love to her, and she to me. God loves us unconditionally, and he wants us to love him unconditionally. But with that wonderful gift of free will goes the problem of exercising it the wrong way, which happened in the garden. When mankind was deceived, Eve was deceived, and then Adam went along with it, and mankind chose to be disobedient instead of being obedient. The concept of obedience is always so critical to our joy and welfare. What would have happened had Adam and Eve not been disobedient? What would it have been like to live in the garden forever and ever? But yet, that awful sin permeates us and it distorts us and it causes us to die slowly. As you can see in the picture, there are, and look around us, his creation is of all ages, because there's that process of decay going on as a result of sin. Because when sin comes in, the result is death. And there's no escape from that. Oh yeah, there is. There is. There is escape from that. But with that sin goes so much heartache. Some brought upon ourselves by choices we make that leads to consequences. You always reap more than you sow. You sow to the spirit, you reap spiritual things. You sow to the flesh, you reap fleshly things. But the principles of the laws of the harvest cannot be escaped. You sow in this season, you reap in this one. You sow a little bit, you reap more. You sow this kind, you reap in the kind. You sow this season, you reap another season. You can't get away from it. You can't get away from the principles of the laws of the harvest. We reap those consequences in our physical being, and we reap them in our spiritual being. And God will give us over to a reprobate mind if we do not turn from our wicked ways. And that's throughout Scripture. And yet he calls us. I've emphasized these last 3 weeks that God is calling us to himself, like those fishermen at the Sea of Galilee. Come, follow me. Let me show you my way. Come follow me. There isn't any of us in this room today that does not know some sort of heartache or struggle in one form or another. The struggle of health is going to catch up with all of us if it hasn't already with some. We will go through that anguish and pain of the dying process. I used to be able to clearly see who was sitting in the back row last year. I can't see, I know who they are, but I can't clearly see them anymore. It's part of the process. These things are really annoying if you're a field biologist and it's hot because they fog up. But it's part of the process. But probably more painful than that is a struggle with personal relationships. As in our desire to promote self, we put others aside and down. And it takes many forms. Many of us were in school and have some sort of really horror story that shaped us for the rest of our lives because of what somebody did in school. I developed a real strong fear of you gals when I was in fourth grade, and I got on the bus and I sat in a chair, or a seat, and this eighth grade, I guess, bigger girl walks up to me and says, "You're in my seat." Pow! And he hit me right across the cheek. I lived in fear of women for the next 10 years because of that incident. And we think it's funny. You know what the girls used to, this wasn't, you know what they used to do, you guys? The girls in our school bus used to take their perfume and they'd spray it on the guy, thinking that was funny, because then you went around the rest of the day smelling like a girl. That was a, I don't think there's anything in the world meaner than an eighth grade girl. Would you agree? Even the girls are agreeing. Thankfully, most of them grow out of it. Many of us have families that have broken apart because of hurtful words, unforgiving spirits, mean things that are said. Many of us have felt the abandonment of when friends turn against us, people you've trusted, some you've known for years, with backbiting and unkind words and all these kind of things. Say one thing, do another. We've all been there. And there's a song that says, "And it was for those tears that I died, for all the brokenheartedness, for all the sin and the consequences thereof." Our Savior said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." So as we finish this series, I wanted to share some words from Him, our Savior, to all of us that are brokenhearted and struggling, to all of us that feel abandoned and forsaken and maybe forgotten and alone, to all of us that are not sure where the next job's coming from or how a certain circumstance will work out, to all those of us that are facing an illness that may be insurmountable, to all of us that know not what even tomorrow might bring, this is what the Lord has for us. Go ahead, Michelle, give me the first one. "For God so loved the world, you and me, for He so loved us, that He gave His Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." They say you can't get out of this life alive. Yes, you can. By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have life guaranteed forever. By believing in this Savior that has the power to create the entire universe and all the uniquenesses therein in the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom, and knows you intimately and knows your struggles, knows where your heart is at, He went to the cross that you might have eternal life. That when you take your last breath, you know for sure where you're going. For God so loved you that He gave His Son, that if you believe in Him, you will not perish, but have eternal life. The second one. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. Dan, you made a beautiful point when you said you think you're strong enough to handle this world, but in reality, we're not. We're not. We don't know what tomorrow brings. But God, out of his love for us, has said, fear not, for I am the one who helps you. I will be your helper. Let's have the next one, Michelle. Paul writing here in Romans 8, for I am not ashamed, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And I want to say this strongly to every single one of us sitting here. It does not matter what somebody says, how bad you are, how much you've failed, how you don't measure up. This verse is for us. There is nothing that's going to separate us from the love of God. Don't listen. Don't listen to that. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's how much he loves us. Not based on who we are, what we can accomplish, but based on who he is and that he created you uniquely. Go ahead, Michelle, give me the next one. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love to those who fear him. Psalm 103:11. We looked at that picture of the galaxies. We don't even know how far out it goes. That's what he's talking about. No matter how far out you go, that's a steadfast love of the Lord is even greater than that. Some people have said, if God only knew the enormity of my sin, he could never forgive me. The Lord says in response to that, I have cast your sin as far as the east is from the west, which is boundless, and I have dropped it in the deepest parts of the sea. And in those days, nothing could be retrieved from there. We're all sinners. That's why we need a Savior. We got some that are socially acceptable sins, some that are not socially acceptable sins, but it's all sin. It's why the Lord went to the cross. To die for those sins. So let us not judge one another because we're not in a position. We have our own issues. Remember what he says? Take the log out of your own eye before you dare go to somebody else and try to remove theirs. As high as the heavens, For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love to those who fear him. The fearing him leads to the concept of obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he gives us those commandments so we'll live well. It's like the owner operational manual. We will live well if we follow the Lord's directions. Okay, Michelle. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I think this verse is so appropriate for the uncertainties of life that we, in our human wisdom, try to figure out a way through, and it looks like it's impossible. How am I going to solve this problem? And the scripture Bill read for us this morning says, God's ways are not our ways. He's going to solve problems in his way. What we need to do is trust him and let him do it. Let him do it. Now, that doesn't say throw wisdom out the window or anything like that. What it means is that we have issues, Philippians 4, pray about those issues, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Take them before your Heavenly Father and rest in Him and let Him take you through the issue. Don't try to jam your way through it on your own. Remember, He knows us intimately. He created you uniquely. He knows what's very best for you to accomplish His purposes. Okay, Michelle, give me another one. The Lord, your God, is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. I love that fourth line. He will quiet you by His love. That talks about the turmoil and stress. God doesn't want us to live in turmoil and stress. He wants us to give us the peace that passes all understanding and guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And don't you love that last one? I will exult over you with loud singing. For those of us that love music loud, the Lord is rejoicing over you. He's rejoicing over you. Zephaniah 3:17. Okay, Michelle, give us the next one. I have loved you, and this is how we start our sequence here, our story. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness, and again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt. Sin has an impact on all of us. As we turn to the Savior, He can redeem us, restore us, and rebuild us. I have a cousin that was lost, and this is her testimony, and she shares it publicly. She was lost in alcoholism, 2 divorces, came to Christ, got involved with counseling, changed her life, redeemed her soul and her life. And now she's a counselor to those that are struggling. The story is told like that over and over. It's your story. It's my story. Lives have been changed, redeemed, bought back from the pit of hell, and made to proclaim by our very lives His wonderful truth of love and grace. Okay, Michelle? So He gives us an invitation. Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. Don't resist. Come. Don't try to figure it out. Come. For My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts. After all, He created it all. You think maybe He knows what He's doing? Just maybe? Come to Me. Come on. Follow Me. I'll make you fishers of men. I'll change your life. I'll give you purpose and meaning and hope and thankfulness and gladness and rejoicing. To where other people are going to say, what is with you? The Savior, that's who's with Me, and I with Him. And so He says there, be strong as you face tomorrow. Be strong and courageous. This is what Joshua told His people before they went in the promised land. This was what God is saying back in Deuteronomy to us. Be strong, courageous, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. And He will not fail you. He won't, family. He won't fail you. And He won't forsake you. So come. Come. I want to close again from Psalm 139 with these words. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn and I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. For darkness and light are alike to thee. Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for loving us. The boundless love that you have for us. And in that love, how you've extended your grace, your unmerited favor to us. That while we were yet enemies with you, your Son, our Savior, went to the cross and shed his blood for the remission of our sins, my sins, your sins. Father, thank you for that. Father, if you've invited us to follow you, it's a simple thing, really, if we choose to do it. If you love me, keep the commandments. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Father, give us the hearts to do that, to recognize in our own heart how truly selfish each of us is, and to really, as Philippians says, consider the needs of others more important than ourselves, having this attitude that was in Christ Jesus, who went to the cross because he was willing to say, not my will, but thine be done. Father, thank you for loving us. In our Savior's name, amen.
Thank you, Steve. We have a little bit of time. We have a roving mic. This is our opportunity to bring praises to the body, so that we can share and celebrate with, and also prayer requests. So if there is someone that would like to start, like I said, we have a little bit of time here to before we close up our day and move on, but let's take some time to pray and praise. So.
My name is Carol Walters, and I knew I had to share today. I just knew I had to, but yet Satan has been saying, oh, you can't do it. But thank you, Steve, for your encouragement, because everything you said today gave me encouragement that I can do this. I must give the glory to God. Last Thursday, Dan Pack came to our house. He's working on putting new cabinets in and refacing them. But Thursday, he was coming in to do a fan and some lights. And he was working on this, and Jerry was home. Thank goodness he was home. We smelled some wood smoke and kept thinking Dan had made, you know, where he was putting in the lights, that was what was smelling. All of a sudden, Dan went up to the attic, and we had a fire. It wasn't actual flames, but it was sparks. And we have all this insulation. I couldn't think of it. Anyway, Jerry and I, Dan kept shouting out what he needed, the mask, the extinguisher, the light, the flashlight, the water hose, you know, everything. And we're trying to get all these things up to him really fast. And I just wanted to praise God that everything turned out fine. It wasn't flames, it was sparks. And the water, you know, you had to find the little spark and then put it out. And just it was just touch and go there. I kept saying, do you want me to call 911? And I think we're okay. And Jerry also had to run up to the barn to get the hose. That was hard on all of us because it was a long way and coming back. And, you know, it was just a miracle that everything worked out. We just praised God. And Dan wouldn't leave. He had another appointment. We kept saying, you need to go. We'll keep watching. It'll be fine, you know. But he kept. So if you ever need a wonderful, conscientious contractor, Dan's a man. Thank you, Dan. And Jerry, for all his everything he had to do. And Donnie, that night, we didn't want to leave to go get a battery for the smoke detector. So he went into town and got it and brought it to us. And Sase was praying while all this was going on. So our whole family and so many people helped this miracle. And we praise God so much that we're not homeless.
Good morning. I'm Marla Hayes, and I just want to thank all of you so much for praying for our daughter, Michelle. I put it over the prayer chain about the 2nd of August. She went into the hospital, ulcerative colitis, very, very sick. We're not out of the woods completely. She's a lot better. Obviously, she's here. We all felt your prayers so much. We just can't thank you enough. What a wonderful family you all are. We found our home. And I just want you to know that, right, Michelle? We all felt it. We're probably looking at some surgery later down the road. But God is good. And he's brought us a long ways in the last few weeks. So I just can't thank you guys enough for all that you do for us. Praise God. Mm-hmm.
I'd like you to pray for my husband, Jim. He is with his folks in Green Bay. And they've given his dad a couple of weeks to live without the chemo that they're giving him. And he took the chemo, so we'll see what it does. But he has lymphoma. They're in their 90s, both him and both of his parents. And then his mother on the 13th needs to have surgery. She needs a total hysterectomy, and she has a non-malignant tumor in her stomach. So they're going to do both of them at the same time. And she's in her 90s. I pray that Jim would have patience. It's really hard to be there, even for 4 or 5 days. So that was specifically his request. And also, that he would be bold in his faith. His family was raised Catholic, and they don't attend church. I challenged his dad, maybe 5 years ago, and he never responded. I had wrote and asked him if he would have, died that day, where would he have gone? And, sort of talked with him, and he never responded. So I don't know where either one of them are, but the Lord does. So if you would just pray for him. His plans right now are to be gone about a month because we had a trip planned. So he's going to stay and just be with his family.
Hi, I'm Sadie. After a whole year of waiting and praying, we are finally going to adopt my 2-year-old cousin in September.
I'm Sherry. I wanted to update you on my neighbor. He spent 3 days in ICU, and I came home, and it took him about a week to recover. And during that time, I was able to, because I'm his fish pond tender, so I was able to go up and talk to him. I was able to give him a book of Bible promises. I didn't think that he would accept an actual Bible because he's not a Christian. But he did read some of it. And so my prayer, and I'm asking you to pray, that God would not allow that his word to return void, and that throughout things that come into his life on a daily basis, that those words that he read would come back to him. He really didn't make any comment on them, but he did read them, and so that was good. The other prayer request that I have is for Mary. Mary's had 3 TIAs in the last 2 weeks, and if you don't know what those are, kind of mini strokes. She's not able to walk with her walker now. She has to be in the wheelchair, at least at this point. I don't know if she'll recover or not from that, but she's afraid to come to church. because she's afraid she'll have another TIA. They've been, Christy said they've been happening about every 4 to 5 days. She needs prayer. She's scared. For some reason, she's afraid to die, and she's been talking a lot about death lately. So we need to encourage her. If you can send cards, that would be awesome. And then if you could be praying for me, I would appreciate it. I've got quite a list today. I have been struggling with plantar fasciitis since April, and got a cortisone injection in June, and it's now wearing off already, and I'm starting to have a lot of pain again. So if you could just be praying for that, because I'm not sure where I'm going from here. So anyway, those are my prayer requests.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Jackson. I wish to thank you all for praying for Andrew, our son. He came through the surgery much better than even the doctor expected. The doctor did not have to touch his kidney during a kidney surgery. It was all the plumbing. So he did just fine. He's going to be recovering for a few weeks. The hard part will be keeping him down. He stayed with us for a week, and that was enough for him. He went back to his house. That's fine. It's okay with me. But he's got a lot of friends, and he has a freezer full of food, and he has a lot of friends that want to bring him more food, and he's eating almost nothing anyway, so whatever. So I'm not in charge anymore. I don't care. He's fine. But he just, we just thank you for your prayers. The whole weekend, you know, with him being, me being down there with him for 3 days was wonderful. I forgot to ask you to pray for Mom and her caregiver, who they just went through everything while I was gone, so I came home to sewer completely backed up, so whatever. It was like, okay. So God helped us through all of that, and I appreciate your prayers greatly. He's doing, the son is doing fine. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Hello, everyone. My name is Dawn Agbabiaje, and I just want to thank the church family for all your prayers for myself and for my husband as well. He made it through basic training or boot camp with the Air Force, and he will be graduating on Friday. So I'm heading out to Texas in the morning, and really excited about that. He's really, you know, really tried really hard, and you know, I've got a few letters from him, and he's always told me, you know, thank the church family, and you know, say hello to everyone, and thank you for thinking about him and all that. And so I just wanted to say that. And as far as myself, I'm still going through some health issues. I found out I have a pinched nerve now in my back, so I'm kind of in pain sometimes, but we do really appreciate all your prayers and thoughts for both of us.
I just want to give you a couple names from Homework Club to be praying for. The two young men, an eighth grader and a ninth grader. Tylen is in eighth grade, and Alan is in ninth grade. And I'm grateful for Homework Club. And Lois offered you the opportunity to come volunteer with us, and we would love to have you, and it makes a huge difference. And these boys, I think Satan is trying to destroy their lives, because that's what he does. And Homework Club people are interceding for these boys and me. So I'd ask you to pray for Tylen and Alan. And then also, in the last 10 days, 3 people from our foster classes have gotten placements. So kiddos are coming into homes, and I'm super glad these kids have a safe home. But there's also 3 families out of hundreds in Shasta County that are in complete chaos, and they're not able to keep their children. So I'd ask you to pray for these families, for these kids. And also, we're still waiting for our call for little brother. It's between praying for Mercy's little brother. We call him little brother. He also will be coming out of a totally chaotic, awful situation, which is why he will come to our home. But we just don't know anything about him, but God does. So, and today we're a day closer, I guess, to meeting him. So would you be praying for him and for us as we prepare for him?
Let's go to prayer, and I hope that you wrote most of these down or you remember them, and this week you can pray for these and celebrate with these these praises that we've heard, but I'm just going to close this prayer, and right after that, Dan and the group, you guys come up right now, and we'll have one last song to close out. So let's pray. Dear Father, I just thank you so much for today. I thank you for the praises that were brought forth, Lord, with the safety from fire and just the exciting news, Lord, of the adoption, Lord, and just for the Alexanders, Lord, how exciting that is, Lord. And just thank you for those praises, and just for the praise of getting through boot camp, Lord, and just that what a time that's been, and it's just the to go back and to see, Lord, and just to watch that graduation. Just that we just praise for the safe travels there too, and just and for the health issues that we have throughout the church, Lord. We just pray for each one of those pinched nerves and fathers and mothers that aren't doing good, Lord, and we just pray for those that are traveling to that. For I think of my father-in-law Jim as he travels back to Green Bay, Lord, that you go before him, you open those doors that he can just be a light, Lord, that he can stand firm and be bold to his parents and to his sisters and brother-in-laws and to all the family that's Lord there, Lord, that they can see that difference, Lord. And we just thank you for the praise for the surgery that went well for Andrew, Lord, that he is recovering, now he recovers, Lord, that you be with him. And just for Sherry and her neighbor, and just that he hears that word. And for Mary, Lord, just be with her, comfort her, Lord. Just bring her words of encouragement through letters, through praises, through calls, just that she can see you, Lord, that you just go with her and comfort her through that time, Lord. Just also be with Sherry as she, with her plantar fasciitis, Lord. And just we just also thank you for the things that you provide for us, Lord. And we thank you in advance for Mercy's brother that's coming. We don't know who, where he's coming from, Lord, but we know that he will be coming into Uche and Sarah's home, and it'll be a godly home, Lord, and we just pray for that provision now, that you bring the perfect child for them, Lord. And just for everything else that was talked about, and we also thank you for Michelle, that she is recovering, Lord. There's still more to go, but Lord, that she's here and that she is recovering, Lord, and we just continue to pray for her and her health, and we just thank you for that. And just thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for your amazing love and your amazing grace, Lord, that we've heard over the last 4 weeks. And just thank you for Stephen putting those words in his heart, on his mind, that he was spoke to us, Lord. And help us to take those to heart and to use the thoughts that we received, Lord, and the challenges. And so we just do thank you. We lift up this day. And thank you so much for everyone that's here. And go before us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we're going to close out with one more. So why don't you guys stand up as we sing last song together.